Religion has many victims, and these are the stories of how they survived. Welcome back to The Awakening. We are so excited to be back with you guys again this week for episode 22. We have made it this far, and I'm so excited.
Yay.
This week, this week we are just doing a special bonus episode for you guys where we talk about current events once again. We share some viral clips that have went around the internet, and we discuss the horrible things that are being said by these preachers behind a pulpit. So welcome in to another episode of The Awakening. We are so glad to have you here again today.
Yes, thank you everybody for joining us today. It's a pleasure. It is a pleasure just to get in chit chat with you over current events and what is happening in our world regarding religion.
Religion, yes. As always, I'm your host, Heather,
and I'm your co-host, Tamara, aka Jezebel.
So this week I was on the internet like I always am because I'm chronically online. And I know you are too, T. And I saw this viral clip of this pastor, and he was talking about women and submission. So I'm going to play the clip so our listeners can hear it. And then we're going to talk about it afterwards because this guy is such a jerk.
Let's do that.
Obedience is doing what your dad wants you to do, even when you don't want to do it. Submission, joyful submission, is following your husband, even in times where it doesn't particularly make sense. It's clearly not sinful, but you don't particularly want to do it. And so, why is this so powerful in a world that we live in today? Because a world filled with insubordinate feminist women, joyful submission is a righteously confusing witness to the broken world. They look at it and they go, how is this happening? Because what they're seeing is what's normal. What's common is insubordination, but it's not normal. What's normal is order. What's normal is order. And our duty as the church, as Pastor Corbin said, is to tell the world what is normal. Because the Bible communicates what is normal in the Word of God. And when you have the instruction manual for marriage, it's pretty easy. You can follow the rules and roles of marriage, and you have a very ordered marriage. Joy is the result. And that is an extremely powerful evangelistic witness to women when they see your joyful submission and your beautiful, ordered family.
Okay, wow, that was a lot to unpack right there in a short little 1 minute clip, wasn't it? Woo!
Let me take a deep breath here. I'm not quite sure if I got through it all.
Are you okay to submit to your daddy without asking any questions, Jezebel? Because I don't know about you, but I think I'm one of those unruly subordinate feminist women he was talking about.
Well, this would definitely come into play where Jezebel's name would definitely take, precedence in this situation. Hell to the no.
And this man is literally using the language of an abuser. Okay. Yes. This Absolutely. Is what psychologists have said. This is the perfect environment for somebody to be abused because you're supposed to obey, zero questions asked. Don't challenge your husband. Don't question anything. But what happens when he's an abusive man? When he's not there to help you, he's there to harm you. Because all this type of theology does is protect him and his position of power. But it does not protect her at all.
Well, and he said it clearly. He said that it's insubordination within the marriage hierarchy for you to, not submit. And the problem is that submission becomes a way of controlling, and that just sets up behaviors that lead or have not already continued to be abusive.
And this is literally like the textbook example of how abusive theology gets constructed, because mm-hmm. it takes a real theological concept of, you know, meeting each other in mutual submission, but it strips it of its mutuality and context and then reframes control as virtue. But that's not what's happening here at all, because it's not virtuous to submit to somebody at the expense of your own well-being, of your own better judgment, of your own intuition. And I hate theology like this, because so many of us escaped religious spaces where we were taught this very thing, that we were to submit without question. But we were taught to submit to men that were evil men. They weren't men that were there to protect us. They were men that were there to control us and have us be in this box, to have our heads low and our voices lower. And we were only palatable to those men as long as we fit within those constructs that they created for us to exist in. Because anything outside of that was a Jezebel.
Exactly. And whenever you did go to a minister to make sure that he knew that it was above and beyond what the normal call of being in control was happening behind closed doors, you always, or I always, received, you need to pray more. You need to be more submissive. You must not be doing something wrong. The man was never held accountable for his actions. Yeah. It was my job to be accountable for what he did if it was bad. And it was my job to exalt him for his good behavior, quote, unquote, if you want to use good and bad. But it becomes disgusting because it puts you in a place that you are always shamed and always shunned. Yes. If you're the woman in that situation, you know, when you go to the minister, that you're going to be holding.
Yes.
The reason why he was abusive was because, let's say it, I didn't cook dinner good enough. I wasn't a good enough wife. I didn't clean his clothes and make sure he was taken care of. There must be something wrong with me fundamentally as a woman.
Yep. And, you know, this theology also sets up the stage, like you said, for the woman to be at fault for anything. And this is how young women get blamed when they get raped and abused by somebody in the church. Well, you caused that man to stumble, because we aren't given full autonomy in these spaces. We're not viewed as fully human when that submission theology is being preached. We are always viewed as the weaker vessel and less than. It robs everything from us. And it not only sets us up to be abused and mistreated, it sets our children up for it too. And again, we're supposed to be joyful. When our husband falls, we're supposed to be forgiving him over and over and over again, no matter how many failures and how many times he falls. I can't even tell you how many times I have seen Christian women feeling like they were obligated to forgive their husband who had been a serial cheater, because that was the man that God gave them and they were required to submit to him. So how could they ever leave that man? Because they would be dishonoring God to do so. And it's like, no, honey, you are dishonoring yourself by staying with that broken, disrespectful man. Period.
And it's not, and it's not only just ending at cheating. You know, I'll use my own personal experience. My mother said to me when I was 28, 29 years old, I will always stand by my man. Yep. And when you have elder women in the church saying you stand by that man, regardless of the abuse you received, regardless of what happened to you, you instantly know by the patterns that your mother that your mother was taking, by the elder women of the church were taking, that what if you had anything to say, you better not take it to the women of the church, number one, and you better not take it to the pastor of the church, because you were expected to stand by that man regardless, even if it was jail time.
Yeah, and these are the same women that will literally show up at the courthouse to testify on their husband's behalf when he's being charged with CSA charges. You know, like, he's been raping kids for the past decade, but his wife is sitting there at the courthouse on his side defending him, and half the church is there too. And this theology sets it up. It does.
And not only that, How many times have we sat in courtrooms or we have listened to courtrooms and the attorney has said, Your Honor, he's a good Christian man. He's doing things correct. Like he made a mistake, but he's a good Christian man. And everybody kind of like sits back and you could see the audience kind of go, Oh, well, and they're giving him a pass in his head. And then people like you and I who become passionate, they're like, oh, you're just an angry woman. You're just a woman's lib. You're just wanting women to do things differently. And I'm not even sure why I changed my voice there. But, and it's like, no, you can call me passionate. And yes, what is happening is disgusting and disturbing because what happens is that they get a lesser sentence and they don't, and it's not the first time they did this. It's the first time they were caught. And instead of holding accountability and instead of holding the structure of patriarch accountable for the harm that they're doing in the world today, everybody takes a back seat because, he just made a mistake. King David did the same thing. My goodness, if King David can be forgiven, so can I. That should not be a pass for
And
men
that is the.
creates crime or does crime against women and children. It should not.
And that mentality is exactly what has caused Christians to excuse away the behavior of our president and the things that he's done to children. Because if they can excuse away the vile things that their biblical heroes do, they can excuse away that same behavior in real people that are causing active harm to their community members today.
Did you hear what our wonderful president said about domestic violence this week?
No, I didn't.
Oh, you did. I should have sent it to you. He said that he's looking at the laws regarding domestic violence because men are being charged with domestic violence that really haven't done anything. It's just a little squabble. I'm paraphrasing, okay? It's just a little squabble between a husband and a wife. So why should such drastic means be taken against him?
Because when we look at statistics,
Kidding me.
85% of violent crime is committed by men. That's why. Because men are the freaking problem. And I understand, no, it's not all men. There are some good men out there. But the reality is when you're saying not all men over and over and over again, you're removing accountability for that 85% that is doing the harm. We need more men that aren't doing the harm to speak up and hold those other men that are accountable. And the reality is when we see a video clip of our president with the US men's hockey team and he's making misogynistic jokes and the US hockey team is laughing along with the president and they're mocking the women's hockey team. That's how that misogyny continues to get upholded. And this is what's really sad. Misogyny is it panders to mediocre men. Because the reality is when we look at the women's US hockey team, they have earned three gold medals, and so has the US men's hockey team. But the US women's hockey team has only been a team for half the time of what the US men's has. So in half the time, they did it better and they did it faster. And when all of this happened and they received their medals, they actually acted with more character than the men ever did. Because when the president was mocking the women, if they were true, genuinely good men, they would have spoken up. They would have said something. They would have called him out. But men are so afraid of not being accepted by other men. They're so afraid of not being seen as masculine enough that they won't hold other men accountable when they're doing shit like that.
And when you come in after everything was done and you were part of one of the hockey men that were in there laughing and hee-haw and ha-ha-ha and doing whatever, and then you get up and say an apology, you're disingenuous. You take away from the time, from anything that happened. It is disgusting and disturbing that men in any community, I don't care if it's a deconstructing community, the atheist community, a Christian community, the hockey teams or our sports community, when you go along and you remain silent, you are part of the fundamental problems. I heard a study, real quick. I heard a study, and it was a men's conference group, and the man got up and he said he had about 10 friends, and they all would go out, and there was this one friend in the group that would always make, everybody would be like, they would laugh, they would say stuff, but or either everybody would just ignore him and be like, oh, that's just, so and so, just ignore him. That's just so and so, just ignore him. And he said, the problem is, about 5 years later, this man committed a crime against one of the women friends in our group. And
Wow.
he said, this is the problem. The one man did it. And no, I may not be responsible for what that one man did, but there were nine men standing there that were silent, that never called him out, that never talked to him, that never said, hey, dude, are you okay? This isn't okay. You can't do this. You should not do this publicly. This is wrong. He goes, and I, in my complacency, I was just as guilty for hurting the girlfriend in our group, because I knew he had those tendencies and those behaviors. And because I sat silent, that allowed him to think that it was okay.
And
Think about
being
that.
in this deconstruction space, we have seen this played out in real time of people causing harm and then others not being willing to approach them or hold them accountable. And whenever we see that, we're like, okay, well, you're just as dangerous as the people that you're in community with. Because if you won't hold another male accountable that's causing harm in our community, you're not a safe space either, period.
No. And if
You
you're
know?
wanting to do something for clicks and for likes and for this or for that, and you won't come to the women of the group that things are happening to, you are part of the problem. You
Yes.
have not deconstructed
No.
patriarchy. You have not deconstructed your misogynistic ways. You are still victimizing victims and count and not taking accountability for what
Yep.
you say and what you do. Because anybody in our groups or anybody in those kind of groups have had all the opportunity over the last couple of years to come and say, hey,
Yep.
what's
Yep.
up? And
And
when you
we
don't, you
and
become just as complacent
yep.
as the person who is doing it. And I
Oh,
hold you
yeah.
accountable when you will not talk out against the misogyny and the patriarchal ways and the bullying and the harassment and the mistreatment of women who have already been victimized and then can be re-victimized again.
Yep.
Shame on anyone who
And
does that.
it's almost like, we see two extremes when it comes to deconstruction, right? Because we have people that will come out and it's almost like they deconstruct to a certain point. So they'll deconstruct believing in hell or they'll deconstruct their homophobia, but they will only go so far. And then they stop. They don't deconstruct the patriarchy. They don't deconstruct their internalized racism. They don't deconstruct the misogyny. And they're still out here bleeding on people that never cut them. And instead of being a Christian that was out there judging and hating people, because they're gay or they're trans or whatever, they flip the script. Now they're just out here hating people because, oh, you're a Christian, you're a Baptist, you're a Catholic. I'm just going to hate you because of what you believe. And it's like, you're no different than you were in the church because you just flipped the script on who you decided to hate and be
Exactly.
loud about it.
And
And
just
that's not
because,
what we do here, you
no,
know?
and just because you leave Christianity doesn't mean you leave the hatred and the indoctrination behind. And when you refuse
Yeah.
to deconstruct the indoctrination, I don't give a fuck about heaven or hell or arguing heaven or hell. I don't believe in that stuff. I'm an anti-theist and I'm an atheist. Those kind of issues to me don't mean anything. But misogyny,
Yeah.
patriarchy, not being kind to your fellow person, making sure that you're not wanting to come to somebody and say, hey, let's have a conversation, and no conversation wants to be had, that's fine, but that is not okay. It is not tolerated, and it is not the way you do things. And on
No.
all honesty, for the men in our community that are learning better and doing better, I stand behind you.
Yep,
I
one
provide a
hundred
safe
percent.
place for you, and I congratulate you, and I am your biggest freaking cheerleader because you in return have held those spaces for me to deconstruct my indoctrination and the ways I think and go about and the patterns that I keep. You must be willing to change patterns. If you're not willing to change your patterns in your deconstructing journey and replace those patterns with healthy, sound choices,
yep,
it doesn't matter what hat you put on.
Exactly. It doesn't. Because again, you're still going to be out here causing harm to the people that you're in community with unknowingly and sometimes knowingly too. And you just don't care, you know?
Right.
And this is why, you know, again, having these conversations are important
right.
because, you know, just like not everybody in the church is safe, not everybody in the deconstruction community is safe either, you know? And we have to be aware of these things and protect ourselves because just because somebody puts themselves out there doesn't mean they are everything that they said that they were, you know?
Just saying.
And over here, we love accountability. Like,
right.
I love being held accountable. I expect you, T, if you hear me say something that might be wrong or I need correct, come to me, please. I want to know
Exactly.
about that. That way we can talk about it. I can course correct. I can do whatever it is that I need to do so I can show up as a better community member. But the
And I have
reality
to.
is if I'm coming to you as a friend with a concern like that, and then you just get angry with me and then you double down on the harm that you were already causing, then you're not a safe community member. And I'm just going to block you out of my life and move on with people that are really healing out here and really
Exactly.
doing the work, you know?
Exactly. Because if I've done wrong, and I'm going to tell you, I am sure there's many things that I may have done wrong over my
Yeah.
healing process.
Oh, I
There's
know
many things
it.
that I've had to deconstruct. And
Yeah.
it is about women, holding women accountable. It is about times when you've come to me and said, hey, T, you know, let's talk about something. Or when
Yeah.
I come to you and said, hey, can I throw something off of you? Because I'm really struggling about this. And knowing that that information is not going to be used or weaponized against me,
Yep.
because you understand that I'm really trying to deconstruct and work my brain through the thought
Yes.
processes that deconstruction has stopped and stopped and stopped. And
Yes.
it's like a roadblock. And it's like those things are needed. But I can guarantee you that womanhood and holding women accountable and helping women change and do better. When we learn better, we do better. I'm not the same person I was a year
Yeah.
ago. I'm not the same person I was 2 years ago. I'm not the same person I was 5 years ago. And if there's things that I need to change, I have made sure that I've stopped
Yeah.
and done the hard work to change it. And if I couldn't do it with my fellow friends, let's just say this. There's nothing wrong with therapy. I've been in
Yes.
trauma therapy now for over a year and a half, or at least a year. And it is difficult and it is hard to change
Yes.
patterns that you have had for over 50 years. But guess what, Heather? If I'm willing to do it, if you're willing to do it, if other women are willing to do
Yeah.
it, then it can be done.
Yes, it absolutely can. And you know, I'm getting ready to start trauma therapy myself in just a few days. And I won't even lie, I'm a little nervous about that. And I kind of think it's cool that we're talking about this right now, just because, you know, when you are raised in high control religious spaces and you're having struggles, you're often suggested counseling, Christian counseling. And that's all I've ever had in my entire life was experiences in Christian counseling. And all that did was traumatize me further. And it gave me, you know, more ways to spiritually bypass what was actually going on with me, you know, spiritually bypass the mental and emotional trauma that I was experiencing instead of unpacking it so we can heal it, right?
Right.
And so I have been nervous for a long time to go to therapy, like absolutely terrified. That's why it's taken me so long to go to therapy, because I've just been so afraid that it was going to be another one of those horrific, traumatizing experiences. So I've had to, you know, psych myself up and be like, okay, this isn't what you thought it was. It's not like it what you did before. This is different. This is actual therapy with a licensed therapist. This isn't some stinking counselor that got their biblical education at Liberty University so they can
Right.
brainwash people, you know?
Right.
So
Right.
I'm excited about this journey. I am. But at the same time, I know it's going to be a hard road to go through. but I'm looking forward to what insight it'll give me and the things that I can share with people along the way. Because, you know, the more that we heal ourselves, the more we can help others heal through sharing our journey and our stories.
And you know, I've been doing this for a year now. And what I didn't know is that there'd be days that I sat with a bucket in my lap and throw up the whole time I'm doing therapy. And there'd be times that I entered into trauma therapy thinking, oh, this will be awesome. I'll be healed when I'm done. I honestly thought that I'd be all better. And I think the hardest thing and the most prominent thing that my therapist said to me, she looked at me one day and she said, are you expecting to be completely fixed when you're all done? And I looked at her and I was like, well, isn't that what this is about? She looked at me and shook her head. She said, Jezebel, she goes, I give you the tools. Some days you won't need them at all.
Yeah.
Some days you may need them hour by hour. And there will be some days you won't be able to get through a second without using the tools in your toolbox to get through what's happening. This is not a part of waking up one day and feeling all better and completely healed. This is about a process of healing. And you cannot expect to be healed from things that have happened for 55 years in 1 year.
Overnight. Yeah.
And I was like, well, why am I not farther along? Why do I feel like I'm so stuck? She goes, no. She goes, you are reteaching your nervous system.
Yes.
Patterns that you've done for 50 years.
Yes. And, you know, that's really the big thing is I know I need those tools in my toolbox, right? I don't got all the tools that I need. I know I don't. So when you show up at a job site and you don't have all the tools that you need, you can't accomplish the job, right? You know, and that's why it's so important. And I think, you know, for so long, things like therapy and mental health treatment have been stigmatized so badly, especially by religious spaces. Mm-hmm. They are the worst to stigmatize and weaponize mental health. You post something online that the Christians don't like, and they're immediately in your comments, oh, you're mentally insane. You need to go see a, you know, psychiatrist, whatever. And it's like, and you wonder why people with mental health struggles don't feel safe in your spaces when that's how you talk about mental health, when you weaponize it like that. And the reality is that a lot of their teachings cause a lot of mental health issues like anxiety, depression, PTSD, self-worth issues. Like we see that every single week, just about on our show, people struggling with their self-worth because that's what this theology does to you.
Mm-hmm. And this has been the hardest. This has been the hardest year. There's been times that I've walked out of therapy and have gone to the water and just screamed into the abyss. Like I didn't know that that's what was happening. And it was like, okay.
Yeah.
That's what I wanted to know is that I didn't know. And now what do I do? You know, and there's a lot of quiet moments that you have to really sit with yourself with self-reflection. Because not only did I learn the indoctrination, right?
Yeah.
There are days I still practice it.
Yeah.
There are reasons why I was still in relationships with patriarchal men and Christian men up until like 2 years ago and maintained those relationships and maintained the patterns that I was taught from early childhood on how to make sure that I stayed in that relationship no matter what. And I realized I was like, wow, this is going to be really difficult for me to undo these patterns because that's been my safety net. Yeah. What Proverbs 31 was, even though I can stay, you know, I'm not doing that. And there's a part of me that's absolutely okay with speaking out against it. When I was quietly within a relationship, I instantly become the Proverbs 31 woman. I instantly became submissive. I instantly became whatever he needed for me to be because I thought that that's what being a good woman was.
Yeah.
And for me to speak out my truths to him to power is kind of when everything started unraveling. And when I was like, oh, I need to get into therapy because I'm not going to be able to undo these patterns because I've kept them for 55 years.
Yeah.
So I've kept the part of my Christian upbringing that was safe for me and felt comfortable for me. And it really wasn't. It was really just my nervous system going on flight or flight or fawning. And I didn't
Yeah.
even realize that that was my nervous system like responding, saying, "Hello, get the hell out of here." You know, but it was like, I didn't know what to do. Where do I go? What do I say? How do I tell people? Oh my
Yeah.
God, I've been in this relationship for 14 years and now I can't even, you know, what the hell? I can't even do a relationship. But you know, it wasn't about doing a relationship. That was like the surface issue. That actually, when I started getting into it, it was me being part of the women who supported and promoted and respected and upheld the patriarchal
Yeah,
structure.
absolutely. And, you know, even going back to, we were talking about the Olympians earlier, you know, one of their mothers actually issued a statement. I just can't believe the world is being so cruel to these young men right now. They're great athletes. And she's defending her son for being a freaking misogynist. Like, and
Man,
again, it's the women
my
that
question
carry the
was,
water for the patriarchy, you know?
I
Now,
guarantee you, I don't know. This is an assumption on my part, so I apologize. I didn't fact check that. But usually when you hear women that'll come up and say out loud, "Well, I'm gonna stand by my man, no matter what, I'm standing by my man," or they say, "Well, don't be so hard on him. He's a good man. He's a good man that needs to learn better."
yep.
We're not saying that he may not be a good man, but as long as he continues in that path and in that way, he is not a man to be a good man to my daughter,
No,
to my
absolutely not.
granddaughter.
Yeah, absolutely not. So we're going to talk about another current event thing.
Okay.
Because the Christians are eating each other's face on the internet. Now, I don't know if you've ever heard that song.
Surely not.
I never thought the leopards would eat my face. I love that song. But John Piper, he is a really ultra conservative pastor. I don't know if you've ever heard of him, but he is super homophobic, super misogynistic, super bigoted. And typically on his Twitter, he just posts Bible verses, just straight Bible verses all the time. He doesn't post a whole lot of other stuff. So he tweeted this Bible verse. You shall treat the stranger who sojourns with you as the native among you, and you shall love him as yourself. For you were strangers in the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. Now he posted this Bible verse, and we all know this is the scripture that Christians absolutely hate to uphold, because this is one of the scriptures in the Bible that tells them that, you know, deporting all the immigrants is wrong because Jesus said we're supposed to welcome the stranger as the native born. Now, John Piper is fully in support of ICE and the immigration efforts, okay? So don't let this post fool you at all. However, his fellow Christians believe he's now gone woke for posting this direct scripture from the Bible. Mega worship leader Sean Foyt, we all know he's a MAGA Christian influencer here that loves to tote his brand of Christianity everywhere, responded to this tweet by saying, "Never imagined a theologian I once looked up to would become so unbelievably woke while weaponizing scripture to justify the illegal invasion of a sovereign nation." So Christians are eating each other's faces. They were tearing John Piper up on Twitter for quoting the Bible directly. Now, this is very telling to me because it's literally showing me right here that the Christians hate the scriptures. They hate the Bible. They hate what it is that Jesus actually taught when he was here. And they will fight each other over their hatred of the Bible and what it actually tells them to do.
Because everybody, and in my experience, they want the Bible to match their narrative and what
Yes.
they want it to say. That is why they cannot read the scriptures out loud. When you ask them, "What does this scripture say?" they'll be like,
Yep.
"Yeah, but it doesn't mean that."
Yeah.
Well,
And
how can
it
you tell me what it means? There's nobody to interpret. It's like if I tell you, my grandmother would say, love you better, and you're like, well, she didn't really love us. Well,
Yeah.
she's not around to explain exactly what her version of that comment was. And I know it's pretty simple and fundamental,
Yeah.
on a simple level, but honestly, that is what Christians do every day.
Yes.
All day long, they want it to match their narrative. So they're going to take bits and pieces of every
They
scripture,
cherry pick. Yep.
but they cherry pick even the scriptures. Like they'll take one part of one scripture and another part of another scripture and put them together
Put
and
them
say,
together.
that's what
Yep.
that means. That's the
And
interpretation.
they will even
No.
take scriptures that don't even mean what it means. They are saying it means and apply it to something that it doesn't even apply to. Like,
Right.
it's so crazy. And it's like, dude, you're reading that Bible all wrong. Like,
Right. And when you come back, because I'll never forget when I first deconstructed, and I left the cult. I had a very dear friend, and he looked at me and he said, I quoted him scripture, and he said, okay, let's pull the Bible out. And he pulled the Bible out and he said, read the scripture. And I may have even said this on a couple times on the podcast. I read that scripture exactly the way it was in my brain. Like when I saw the words, and he would stop me, he would say, go back and read that scripture. I'm like, I said, I read the scripture. He goes, no, you did not. He goes, you read the scripture the way you thought that scripture said. I want you
oh.
to say word for word what that scripture says in print, not what you think you've seen or what you know to
Yeah.
be what the scripture is. And that was when I first started unraveling scriptures, because I realized that I was taught to use scripture
As a weapon.
to help my fight and to help my defense and to weaponize it against whoever wanted to say, well, that's not what that scripture said. And I would Bible dump on them individuals to the point that they would be flustered and
Yeah.
frustrated and just walk away from me. And
Yeah.
I personally would walk away saying, I got them. No, I didn't.
No. And this is actually a good thing that we're leading into because just a few days ago, yesterday maybe even, but the state of South Carolina just made it a requirement that the Ten Commandments be up in all the classrooms across this state. Now, I hate this. And I have, you guys know that I have come from a Christian background. I was raised in the Christian faith. And I think that this is egregious. It's oppressive. And there is a reason that they always want the Ten Commandments and never the Beatitudes. See, the Beatitudes would teach children to actually care about their neighbors. The Ten Commandments teaches children to rule and dominate their neighbors. It gives them permission to continue to uphold the patriarchy and the hierarchy, and it gives them permission to oppress anybody that they deem a sinner that's on that list. Period.
And yeah, and
And
that's
not just
why
that, it is so oppressive to kids of another faith. Not everybody's a freaking Christian. So if you're going to put the Ten Commandments up, then put up the tenets of Judaism, put up the tenets of Buddhism, put up the tenets of
Satanism,
Satanism. Let's get them all up on the walls because that's
every
the
one
only
of
way
them.
it's fair and is if everybody's faith is represented, not just one.
We
Period.
are we're at, we are a nation for religion and from religion,
And
and
it's
for you to
freedom.
think. And it's freedom of religion. If
Yes.
we don't want to participate, it should not be forced on us. And
No.
I have to tell you that I realized over the last couple of weeks that before I was an atheist, I was an anti-theist, because I am against anything that has to do with making religion and religious contacts and forcing religion on anybody.
Yep.
Let those children be raised as they were born, an atheist, and
And
then let them make a choice.
forcing religion onto children is egregious and it's child abuse, especially if it's the Christian faith, because you are literally teaching children from birth that they are born inherently broken and sinful, that their good
Exactly.
deeds will never be good enough, that no matter what they could produce, it's like rotten fruit.
Yep.
So, to have this forced onto kids, it just, again, it pisses me off so bad
And what
because
do
it's
the teachers have to do? Do the
damaging.
teachers have to read the Ten Commandments every day? I can tell you right now, I went through the Ten Commandments yesterday, and do you know, I think there's only one Thou shalt not steal is the only one that I follow.
And it's wild to me that, they do this, but some of
Yes.
the teachers are already saying, they kind of making a mistake putting that in my classroom, because if they kids start asking me questions about those Ten Commandments, I'm going to tell them the truth about it, because I'm an atheist. I'm not a Christian. And I was like, we need more people in the classrooms like that are willing to actually teach children the truth about this stuff, instead of allowing them to be blindly indoctrinated by the patriarchy. And the reality is even if your child is not raised in Christian spaces, they're still going to be affected by the patriarchy in some way or another, because it affects every aspect of our society. It has permeated every area and every facet of it, because even if you're not part of it, it still shows up in the workplace,
We
because
are
women aren't
not.
treated equal. It shows up in all kinds of different ways. Like, if I take my car to the auto mechanic, I'm not going to be quoted the same price that my husband would for taking the same vehicle to that mechanic.
Let's say that again.
And this is the reality of the world that we live in,
Right,
but it's the
right.
patriarchy that enables that.
And I hate the fact that Christians are like, well, we're a Christian nation. No, we are
No, we're
not. We are
not.
a nation that allows anybody to explore,
And
be curious, and love whatever religions or whatever belief they
Christians,
want to
like,
do.
they really think that it's a good thing by saying that we're a Christian nation. But when they are saying that out loud, what they're saying is, we're a nation that oppresses our women and children, and we don't care about taking care of them. That's what they're saying.
Yep, and you know
That's
what I
what
learned
they're
from that?
saying. Men has replaced God. It really has. And I saw
Well,
this really, really good quote the other day, and
God was man-made.
it said, God is the name of the blanket that we throw over mystery to give it shape.
Yep.
And I was like, that is so powerful. Because really, that's what it's all about. People are afraid of the unknown, the unpredictable, they want a solution for everything. And it's like, sometimes there isn't a solution. Sometimes the solution is to just be a better human being yourself and show
Yep.
up for people in your community and do what you can to help. Because, for so long, I sat in religious spaces where I was taught to just pray about everything. I
Right.
didn't do
Just
things to
pray about it.
help people. I
Nope.
didn't even really care about people that were, being harmed, black people being killed in the streets. I didn't even care about that stuff, because I
As
was
long as it
taught,
wasn't
oh,
me.
if I saw something bad on the news, oh, Lord, just pray for them and their family. That's all. That's all you do. That's all you got to
Exactly.
do. You don't have to do anything to change a thing.
Exactly. And I have said this, and I said it yesterday with you when I was talking with you, that I said that anytime that I see Christianity being forced or an uprise in Christianity, it has always correlated with somebody needing to be oppressed.
Yes.
So even from back into slavery time, when when women wanted to learn how to read, when women wanted to start being more independent and understanding the world around them, when we wanted to make sure that we kept slavery under our thumbs, what happened? Christianity started
Became more
rising and
violent
becoming
and
more
extreme. Yep.
extreme. Now we're seeing the LGBTQIA, marginal communities, trans individuals. We're seeing women being told that they need to be quiet or be joyful in their submission. And
Yes.
we're seeing that the religious rhetoric and ideologies is being forced into our everyday way of life.
And
And it is
everywhere.
only because they're afraid they're losing power. So now when they
Yes.
lose power, they up the banter of
Yes, they do. They up the
evangelical.
advertisements that they do for the faith. They up the products that they put out. Christianity is a multi-billion dollar empire, okay? It is a business. It's not a faith anymore. It's a freaking business. And you're right. Every time their power is threatened, we see them doing the most crazy and extreme stuff. And
And
the
guess
reality
what?
is right now they're focusing on picking on those marginalized communities, bathroom bills in South Carolina, so trans people have to use the bathroom of their gender at birth. Well, you know, Republicans are the ones, and Christians complain about, oh, I don't want men in the women's restroom. Well, honey, when you make these bathroom bills, you're forcing trans men into the women's restroom. That's exactly what you're doing. It's your legislation that's putting men into the women's restroom. So why are you legislating that?
Exactly. And I don't know about you, but anytime I've had to pee, I don't go pee and look underneath to see which way the person next to me is standing.
I don't give a shit who's in
I
there
don't
with
care.
me. I just gotta fucking do my shit and get out. Like, it's
And guess
crazy.
what? There are a lot of times that the line at a concert or the line at a comedy show, that woman's line is way too long. I'll look over at that
Oh,
man's
yep.
bathroom and I'll look at a man and I'll say, excuse me a minute. When I go in that bathroom and I pee, I
I've done it.
don't care. If I
No.
want to make sure my children stay protected and I'm concerned about their safety, let me tell you, it is in a church house
Yes.
bathroom, and it is in a church house. It is
Yep.
never out in public or in a workplace where we're going to the bathroom. I never I'm concerned about my children going into Myers or to
Yeah.
Target to go to the restroom. I'm standing right there. I have many, many, many times have gone to a church and have gone inside the man's bathroom and stand inside there. And when the men come in, I'm like, I'm a single mom and I'm standing here to protect my kids. Now, that was after I left the cult and before I completely deconstructed.
Yeah.
But I knew in my heart that chances are, if my children were going to be hurt, was going to be within these four walls of
Oh,
this
absolutely.
congregation.
And we know that the statistics do not lie about these things. Kids
Yeah.
are not safe in religious spaces. They are not.
No.
Because again, the women protect the men. The men don't face accountability. They're shipped from one institution to another institution, and they become serial abusers, serial predators. I saw another story the other day about some pastor that had literally been having an extramarital affair for 15 years while he was preaching. 15 years. And the congregation is calling for his forgiveness. No, I'm not forgiving you.
No.
You need to step down permanently from ministry because you have proven for 15 years that you cannot be trusted behind a pulpit, and you should never be able to step behind one again. There's another man that had an affair with an 18-year-old woman. An 18-year-old woman, and now he's out here writing a book about how you save your marriage after an affair. She was barely fucking legal, T. No, fuck you, dude. You shouldn't have a platform. Nobody should buy your book. Nobody should listen to you because you are garbage. You are the problem. You literally replatformed yourself. You took a year off. That's all you did. You took a year
A
off and now you're back
sabbatical.
on the same stage. You haven't deconstructed. You haven't repented. You haven't fixed a damn thing. You're just trying to fix your image in the public eye.
And first of all, let's just say this, right? Let's just talk about forgiveness. Don't tell me, as a Christian person, to me, that I owe anybody forgiveness.
Yep.
That is not the case.
Nope.
Don't ask me to forgive. Don't talk
And
to
you're
me
not
about
entitled to it
forgiveness.
either. It's
And I
earned.
don't have
And
to forgive,
yep.
and I'm not
Nope.
forgiving people who harm children and
Yep.
women and people who are of a marginal community. When you tell me that, well, he's been forgiven by Jesus, you desecrate holy ground. But you know
Yep.
that man inside that church house that's sitting on the pew that didn't just grape you once, that didn't grape you twice, but the earliest memories are at 4 years of age. Don't tell me that
Yep.
I must do forgiveness, and then don't come back and tell me that I'm just angry because I won't forgive. I'm going
Yeah.
to tell you
I'm
that is
bitter. That's what
bullshit
they like to say.
mentality. I am holding a man accountable because he refuses to be held accountable.
Yep.
The church house refuses to hold him accountable, and they allow it to continue. I'm not his first. I'm not his last. And the blood of those innocent children lie on your hands because you know,
Absolutely.
and it was openly talked about inside the church house. The other thing is, for you to put a man who writes a book on how to save a marriage, and then he becomes the conference preacher for marriage conferences and men conferences, remove them from openly being able to speak in the
Yeah.
presence of men. Men need to hold men accountable. And whenever you allow them to be a part of your marriage conference and your men's conference, that is dismissive and disgusting for the women who have to sit there and bear the shame because obviously they weren't a good enough wife or their husband would not have cheated on
And it
them.
literally gives permission for other men to go out and cheat on their wives because God will forgive me. It's okay. God will save my marriage. It's okay. You know, it's so messed up. And
King David
again,
was a
this
man
comes
after
at the
God's own
expense,
heart.
and this all comes at the expense of their wives.
Yeah.
Their
Yeah.
wives and how she is viewed in the public. Because number one, there are people that will never view her in the same light again. Because girl, why did you stay with that man? And now why are you allowing him to publicly humiliate you on a stage like this over and over and over again? Because that's all he's doing with the book, is humiliating his wife over and over and over again. I don't understand that.
Understand. And Heather, you and I would not say that to each other, or say, to stay with him, or what? Why were you staying with him? But most of the women that are in her circle are holding her and elevating her for being such a godly woman
godly
and being
wife.
able to be going through this. And this is her cross to bear. But God is going to bring you out on the other side stronger and better and more equipped to speak what happened to you guys out loud. I don't know. I don't
I
even
just
have the
hate it.
words. It's absolutely disgusting that you make the woman hold the shame of your bad behaviors. Be accountable. You're not being accountable when you go out and write a book to become wealthy and to be able to still preach to other men. You should not have a voice any longer.
Absolutely. So I guess the word for today's podcast is accountability, y'all, because we've talked about that a lot today. We really have appreciated you guys hanging out with us today, listening to us ramble on about some current events here and just talking about deconstruction, because again, deconstruction is a journey and there is a lot that we are unpacking in this space. This is a safe space wherever you're at on your journey. We try to provide more seats at our table. That way, people that are just now entering their journey feel comfortable here. So I'm grateful that you guys are just listening to us again this week. If you like this episode, hit that subscribe button and catch us back here again next week for another episode. And next week, we have such an incredible guest coming to our show, don't we, T? I'm so excited.
Oh, I'm so excited.
We have Melissa Doogie Spires, and she is the author of Holy Disobedience, Sins and Secrets about the Seventh-day Adventist Church. So we are over the moon that she's going to be on our show. I have followed her work for several years now, and she is such a badass. So this is so exciting. We love strong, powerful women.
Exactly, exactly. And another really fun thing to say, I think we are only one person short of 50 on YouTube.
Yes, we need
we will
one
be
more
able to go
subscriber.
Live on YouTube.
We are so close. So if you think about it, the link for our YouTube page is in the bio and the description of the show notes here. Please go over there and hit that subscribe button, because once we get to 50 followers, we can go live with all of you guys and engage in real-time healing conversations. And that's super exciting because, again, we
so
want to
important.
grow this community and just let you guys know that there is a safe space for you to land while you're deconstructing and trying to heal from what it is that religion put you through. So thank you again for being here. We appreciate y'all, and we'll catch
We
you back here
appreciate
next
you.
week.
And love you guys. And listen, we know it's a journey and we know it's messy, but we can tell you that when we learn better, we do better. And there are women out here that will help hold your hands while you walk this journey. So thank you guys for joining us. And Heather, you know I love you.
Yes, we love you. Bye.
Religion has many victims, and these are the stories of how they survived.
The preceding podcast is solely owned by the host or hosts and is distributed by Big Media LLC. Copyright 2026.